This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And hello, movie lovers. And today we are going to be talking about the movie Thanksgiving. This came out in 2023. I have my good friend Marilyn Knapp here with me, indie actress Marilyn Knapp. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's always good to break bread together and watch a good slasher movie.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, guys, I just want to say this too. Welcome back to Movie Lovers Tonight, the only podcast where turkey isn't the only thing getting carved this Thanksgiving. I'm John, and of course, Marilyn's with me. And today, we're talking about Thanksgiving, Eli Roth's new movie that proves Black Friday shoppers are way scarier than any horror villain. If you ever fought someone on over a flat screen TV, congratulations, you made it in this movie.
For sure.
Definitely. But, you know, it just shows like the chaos of Thanksgiving where, you know, we're gathered around a dinner table with these characters. And we actually feel like that we're part of this family as they're being introduced to us. So I feel like that we are invited in with this family and we're the viewers watching this. But not only the viewers, but we're also the guests. And you're seeing that these teenagers are getting ready to go out. They're going out to a movie. And then you find out the father has to go into work. We don't know exactly what he does. And then it goes into the whole entire deal of the chaos of Black Friday. About the opening, what did you think about did you see it in that perspective that I seen it in, or did you see it as like these are just the characters that we're going to be hanging out with for the next 90 minutes?
Well, I felt like, of course, they're all being introduced, and you have to recognize that in doing so, it sets up who's related to who, who's interested to, but I felt like, yeah, like, okay, I'm there. I did. And then the whole Black Friday thing happened.
Right. Because, yeah. I just want to mention this, like, and I'm giving you guys a little small synopsis of what this is about. So in Plymouth, Massachusetts, on the evening of Thanksgiving, Sheriff Eric Newland arrives at the home of Mitch Collins and his wife, also celebrating in Thomas's Wright, owner of the Wright Mart stores, along with his new wife, Kathleen, and daughter, Jessica, who hates Kathleen and is waiting to go to the movies with her boyfriend, Bobby, and their friends, Mitch, and the manager of one of the Wright Mart stores, is dismayed to learn he has been called into work for early Black Friday sales. Jessica and Bobby join their friends, Evan, Gabby, Scuba, and Yulia. I think that's how you say her name.
Yulia,
thank you.
Yeah, I think so.
It's Yulia. All of a sudden now I think of Julia Gulia from, like, you know.
Right, Yulia, yeah.
They're all getting ready to go to the movies, but Evan decides to take a pit stop to the Wright Mart since Jessica has access inside. The teens try to get to the store and actually opens. Outside, the mob of the customers grows unruly, with teens from a rival school. Lonnie is instigating a riot as they see the other teens inside and demand to let them in. The teens then decide the chaos unreeling, with people being pressed against the cracked glass. The moment the doors break, a stampede of customers burst in, and one of the security guards named Doug being trampled to death, and another customer gets his neck slashed by broken glass. Bobby tries to help, but gets his wrist broken after someone stomps on it. Right. So, you know, the other thing I want to bring up is the fact that I like how we go into the parking lot of this thing, and then it's like, oh shit. Like, there's a theme music to this. Like, it's an old shit moment for us as the viewer, but we're also interacting with these characters, and as they're interacting with one another,
right,
we actually do feel like we're in that seat with them. And it's like, well, I need to have a phone. Well, why do you need a phone for? Well, because if I have a phone, how else am I going to talk to somebody? So, it's just one of those teenage things of like, I need to go to the store. And then on this chaotic night, you need a cell phone. And they're not even thinking clearly on this.
No. Well, I mean, they're kids, so
Right.
that's okay. But yeah, I mean, the whole parking lot thing was just so crazy. I mean, I would never try to get in there ever. That, I mean, it was just unruly and manic. All these people are just crazy.
Right, and then you're going to try and amplify it even more by taunting them
I
outside.
know. That was so wrong. Hello? No. And then, yeah, the guy, the athlete there that was like, just like yelling, and they had bickering between, who was it, Bobby or no?
It's Lonnie
Okay.
from a rival
They,
school. Yeah.
that's right, the bright. And they had this bickering back and forth, and then they get inside and they're like, I got this. Yeah.
Yeah, absolute morons. Because they're seeing, because Lonnie is seeing them going into the back, and the security people are trying to hold them back. And it's like, wait, they're allowed to go in the back, but we're allowed to be, but we have to stay here.
Right.
And the thing that kind of bothers me here is supposed to take place in Massachusetts. There's hardly any Massachusetts, Boston accents in this
Then,
movie.
right.
Other than maybe the
None.
coach, yeah, there might
Right.
be about two or three characters. And then the sheriff, like towards the end, yeah, he gets the Boston accent all of a
Right.
sudden. I'm like, wait.
The waitress had one right up
Yeah.
front. Yeah. But
And Papa Gino's, is that, and she mentions Papa Gino's. That was actually a popular franchise in Boston when I was a kid.
oh, wow.
So I'm like, okay, so I feel nostalgic of her telling us that and things like that in the diner. And also too, this doesn't even feel like a big store. Like, yeah, it's a big store, but this is supposed to be like a Best Buy slash Walmart kind of
Walmart
store.
is the way I looked at it.
Right. Because it's a small town, so everybody knows everybody.
Well, Walmarts
So,
are everywhere,
yeah,
so
exactly. That's true.
right.
But it just sucks because then the mother comes in wanting to drop off some food for her husband,
I
who
know.
happens to be called in. But at the
Yeah.
same time, though, I'm like, lady, why you bring him something to eat? I get the fact that you care about your husband, but look at the mob outside.
I know. I know.
And he wouldn't even have time to even think about eating
Right.
or anything like that because the month's the chaos.
Right.
So I was like, look, I already ate before I left here to go to work, probably. I'll get me some McDonald's. I don't need you to pick me up anything. I'm gonna be occupied over here.
Yeah.
But it just sucks that his wife dies because of someone that wanted an item in the store.
Right. And her hair gets all tangled up and
Under the wheel of the shopping cart.
then I know, and it and then it pull scalping,
Yeah. And she's wheeling around with the woman's hair attached to it. And then
Well,
you also, yeah, I know we're Boston strong, but man, that guy who ended up cutting his throat as he's getting in there to get
I
a waffle
know.
maker.
And he grabbed it. And he was like, ugh. And then somebody comes along and grabs it from him. I'm like, what are you doing?
He was going to die on the mantle of getting that for his family. He died for that.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Right. What else can you say about that you enjoyed about this scene, though, as I'm describing this?
It's actually my favorite. Because I think it epitomizes some of the insanity that happened during this holiday time. I mean, and people get, they can get really mean,
They
and
can.
not to this extent, but at least
Don't
I
know. I've seen
have
two
heard.
women fight over bread during Black Friday
Okay,
and
okay.
slapping with each other with bread. I've seen it on that kind of level.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness I haven't.
The bad thing is I live in the South, so I wasn't expecting that to happen down here.
Right. But so I kind of understand the importance of that kind of statement. You know, maybe we should all relax, take a step back, and not get so materialistic, right?
Right.
And not get so crazy, because it's hard enough during the holidays without meeting somebody who steals something from you in the store, you know, it's, or dying in this case. But oh my goodness, yeah,
right. I think you nailed it on the head with this, though. It's like, be thankful for the things that you already have, because you already went. Here's the thing: we experienced the Thanksgiving Day dinner. Then it's like, okay, now guys, we're gonna go out shopping now. After we got set things, after we actually been thankful for the things that we have.
Right.
Now you're gonna be over there trying to get materialistic stuff.
Right.
I never saw the importance of going out for Black Friday. I've never done it.
I've never
done anything. I just happened to want to get bread. <that day. laughs> And then after that, I walked out the store. I'm like, I'm good. That was before home delivery, you know what I'm saying? Before Walmart started delivering stuff and things like that. But I'm like, I'm good. I don't need no bread. I'll just go to Subway or something. I'm good to go.
Right.
But I definitely do agree with you. This movie may be a slasher movie, but it has a meaning behind it. It's like, don't get wrapped up around this Black Friday thing. It's overrated. It's overhyped. Yes. Be thankful for the family that you have and the gifts that you have in front of you, because you can never get those memories back.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But
exactly.
But yeah, and then I feel bad for Doug. Like, two security people are over there.
Right.
To handle this mob.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And
he's only doing what he's told to do, you know, lock the doors. And then people start. It was a girl. Who was it? Open the doors. Open the doors. Mm-hmm. Was it Jessica, who said that? I can't remember.
I believe it was Jessica.
Yeah, yeah. Open the doors, open the doors. And then he gets trampled on, smushed. Oh, my goodness.
And then also, too, like, you have Lizzie, who is over there, who is actually the waitress that we meet later on.
Yes.
And
I
she's
to
just...
slap her.
Me, too. And I'm like, girl, you are ripping off someone's scalp right now,
right,
to get what you want, and you're basically murdering somebody.
Yes.
And I'm glad that they brought this up. Is like, these people need to be arrested and be brought into justice.
Absolutely.
Not just a slap on the wrist. So I think it has a lot to do with, like, as the news reports are actually coming out, we're watching this on TV just as the characters are watching it on TV as well, and mm-hmm. feeling in the same way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a very good job of this meta kind of thing of amplifying how we feel and feeling how these characters feel. But at the same time, though, all these characters are just horrible people.
They are, really.
Like, there's no one to really root for, in a sense, other than maybe Jessica, like the main.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, everybody else has their own motives and their own motivations and stuff behind the Black Friday deal, and they're just ugly people to me. Like, there's no one. Yeah,
most of the, well, certainly the people that die.
Right.
Even though I feel a little conflicted about a couple of the deaths, especially one, but
we're good.
Yeah.
So now we're dealing with the fact that this is only 1 year later.
Yeah.
Then it's not much time to grieve. There's not much to process everything. But yeah, they want to still have a parade. They still want to go ahead and act like nothing even happened.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you, this mayor is kind of like the same mayor that we had from Jaws.
Yes, it's true. That's very true.
So it's that character trope. I feel like this movie plays a lot of character tropes that we know from other horror movies, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But it does a perfectly good job of actually balancing out what this mirror is about and what he wants. And he doesn't care if people die, because he's still going to throw that stupid parade.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but then you have to look at Thomas Wright, mm-hmm. who is, he and his wife, they're trying to give back to the community,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to do all this good stuff. So maybe that's why the mayor's like, okay, let's move on. Let's go ahead and, you know, throw this stupid parade, you know.
But then, and then we also have this other thing that with Thomas and the entire company after no arrests were made. We talked about that. And then they also took the security footage.
It could not be found.
Right. And then we have Bobby hasn't spoken to Jessica or the others since the accident. And Bobby supposedly decided, hey, look, he ruined his whole entire baseball career because someone stomped on his hand.
Yeah. Well, he
So, yeah.
rescued Doug, so yeah.
Right. So he was actually trying to do something nice and
Nice.
help Doug. And then he gets hurt in the middle, and his whole entire baseball career is now over with. And it almost makes you feel like everybody's a suspect that you think that everybody is the killer at this moment because everybody has their own motives.
Yeah. And then the introduction of the deputy
Yeah.
then, and I'm like,
Yeah, Sheriff Eric Nolan.
that's right. Yeah. And of course Mitch, the husband,
Right.
who was the man former manager.
Who's still going through trauma.
Yes, very much so. I felt bad for him.
I did too. Mitch is the one that I've really had to feel like that I care the most about because of the stuff because he lost his wife. And then you have Lizzie over there taking the orders and stuff. And she goes, you guys have to wait your turn. You're not so special. I'm like, you're the one who wound up killing somebody. Yeah, they amplified the crowd and stuff like that. Yes, they snuck around the back, but at the same time, you're the one who killed someone. You're just as guilty as they are.
If not more,
Right. But I do like the look of the mask for the killer for the I definitely like the look of it because it does have this little realism kind of look to the mask. It doesn't feel like it's plastic or anything like that. I really like the fact that, the new person in town, which is the sheriff, who's actually trying to learn who what this thing is that they celebrate. So I thought that was really interesting.
And I love that name of that person too.
Yeah, John Carver.
I
But yeah, and then after the famous pilgrim at night at the diner, this is where we have Lizzie, who now this is our first death. And, she's closing up. It's late at night. And, she wanted, first things first, I thought he was going to put her head into the fryer. That's the first thing I thought. But no, instead, he drowns her in water, tries to drown, and then he throws her up against the freezer. Then she winds up trying to pull herself off the freezer. And I feel like that treatment got the same treatment as the wife getting her scalp ripped off, just like how her face is getting ripped off. So I thought it was like an eye for an eye kind of thing. But then she runs into the closet, and then she runs, and then after that, the killer winds up.
And she came out. Why did you come out? I would never come out. I
No.
would stay there forever until somebody showed up.
I'll be waiting until like the next shift the next morning. You know what I mean? But she comes out, and then all of a sudden the killer chases her out the door, and then he winds up getting in his truck. And as she's trying to get into the garbage bin outside, it cuts her in half. The lid shuts on her body, on her a torso.
It's midsection, yep.
Yeah. And then it splits, then the truck splits her in half.
Which I laughed at a lot, believe me.
Laughed even harder when it was at 50% off. When they put her on that sign, I was like, that now that is the perfect way to go about this. This is justice. But I also have some dark, warped humor, though, too, with
Oh,
myself.
absolutely. Yeah, I'm very twisted. That's why I laughed. So,
Seen the characters you play, I believe.
yeah.
But, I'm sorry. But still, though, I mean, I definitely like the fact that they're using this dark humor to make us laugh a little bit about the 50% off sale. Yeah. So then they're trying to get the torso off the sign. And then I'm like, why would anyone want to go shopping now after this happened? So,
nowhere. Like, I wouldn't want to go shopping anywhere after that.
I think I would be going out of town somewhere. And like, look, you guys can have this Thanksgiving Day thing over here. Yeah. I'm going to go over to Somerville.
Damon Islands. I'll go there.
I'll be like, I'm going over to Somerville, where the other part of Massachusetts, not over here. I'm going to go somewhere away from this part of Massachusetts.
Right.
And I'm just going to stay here for a little bit. I'll go down to Salisbury or something.
Okay.
But still. Then after that, we have the whole entire deal where Newland begins investigating the murder after learning Lizzie's involvement in the riot. Jessica also helps the investigation by proving Newland with security footage that was missing from the night of the riot, and Lizzie is clearly seen in them. The teens start to pick out suspects such as Mitch, who is one of the more vocal haters of Reitmart, or even Ryan, since he was seen in the footage talking to Doug before the riot began. He says that he was picked up on drugs from him. A security guard named Manny, who ran away as the riots began, is getting ready to go on vacation when he hears a noise in his house, although he tries to come off as though he is impaled in the stomach in an electric mixer by Carver. But it just felt like, we'll get to that scene in a minute, but, you know, where the sheriff is telling her, I'm telling Jessica, I need you. You're helping me out. And there's like, there's clue things. Like, if this is your first time seeing this movie, I like how there's like little small things that you miss. And then you go back again to rewatch this. It has that rewatchability that I really find fascinating with this movie. And the key points and the clues that the sheriff is actually giving her without us even knowing that he's giving them to her. So I definitely like how he's trying to act like he cares about her.
Right, right. I agree.
But is there anything that you want to add to the to any of that or anything?
No, I like that they. Yeah, I mean you. Yes, you really. The sheriff is like, you know, are there any details, small details, because that will help. And I like that a lot.
Me too. And then she winds up, so she's acting like, okay, well, I need to find the security footage and things like that. And they're like, well, why do you want to do that? You're going to be suspect as well. And then also too, we also have the YouTube video that's been going around as well, where the girlfriend's also, one of the girlfriends is suspecting another boyfriend uploading the stuff that from a year ago.
Right. Right.
So, but, you know, and then after that, the teens are also so I like how they start trying to do the suspect game and things like that. It kind of reminds me of I Know What You Did Last Summer, but it's in the fall. But I definitely like this. And then Manny, who ran away from the riot, began is getting ready to go. So, Manny, who ran away from the riot to begin with, is getting ready to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. But he said he's going away to the Virgin Islands or somewhere.
It was some, yeah. Some.
Right. I'm like, Dominican Republic. That's what it was.
That's what it was, yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're not going there for vacation, dude. You're going there to get away from all this.
No, he was panicked. He was,
He was panicking. Yeah. He's like, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
Right. Right.
And then I like how he's getting spooked out in his own house. The only thing that he has is a cat. And then he gets the blender stuck to his stomach. And then he takes a hanger wire and cuts his head off.
Yeah. Decapitation.
Yep.
But the killer feeds the cat.
Yeah. So he's very,
he's nice killer.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's let's humanize the goon a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's an animal lover. I like the fact that he's an animal lover. I mean, yeah. I don't see nothing wrong with him. You know.
I mean, he's got motive. There's a reason why he's doing this. So, but he's not just going to kill arbitrarily. I mean, he's not going to kill a cat or, you know.
No.
So he's focused. Yeah.
He's like, well, I killed your owner, so I'm not going to leave you to die. You didn't do anything wrong. I have no beef with you, so exactly. I'm just going to feed you.
I'm going to take care of you.
Right. I thought there was that little dark humor, though, within it, though, too, of him feeding the cat. It's like, well, I already killed. It's like, well, I already did what I had to do. And, well, I have time. I have about 5 minutes here before the cops come. So I think I'm going to go ahead and feed you, buddy.
Yeah. Little scratch on the head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then we get into some of the other things, too, though. Where he's actually sending pictures to the teens.
Right.
Because remember, there's that dining scene at first where everybody, like, there's a table set. Everybody's like, okay, ha, 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 ha. I don't know what this means or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then finally you see their names being on there and like, oh. So we are the guest to this this thing that we're invited to that we're not even sure what we're invited to.
Right. And then at one of the place settings, or maybe two now, there are a couple of dead people. So.
Yeah. So now we have two dead people now at this table. So we have Lizzie, and now we have Manny.
Yeah.
So now Carver stalks Lonnie and his girlfriend, Amy, who was with him during the ride. And Amy tries to show off her skills on the trampoline. And this is what I was going to say, okay? So, you know, I said there was no one that really had a Boston accent. Lonnie had one.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how people of New England talk. So I'm like, yeah. Right. Right. And so I'm really happy that they actually had some people that were able to do the accent. So I believe, like, if you're not able to do the accent, don't do it.
Right.
But I want to have a little bit of flavor of, like, this is New England. This is Massachusetts. So yeah. I actually feel like he's actually one of them. Even the guy who sells the guns actually has a New England accent, yes, though, too.
Yeah. So that whole trampoline thing.
What do you think about this?
Well, the boyfriend, and she's, like, teasing him and all that kind of stuff, and I'm like, this isn't going to be good. I was hoping a little bit more of a kill for the boyfriend, because he did, actually, he was one of the major instigators of the riot.
Right.
I don't know.
I felt kind of flat for that. For that scene in particular, I felt like it was not a very smart kill.
No, it was just like, let's turn your head around. I don't know. Right? I'm like,
I wasn't that impressed. And I got like kind of like Final Destination vibes from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that one scene where the gymnastics girl?
Yeah.
I just didn't care for this one. This one kill kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm like, okay, so your big idea after you get done breaking this guy's neck and twisting his neck is to go under the trampoline where the girl's jumping up and down.
And then...
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for. Whether for myself or a loved one, Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
Like, no, because any other horror movie would actually let the girl stop jumping and go towards the body.
Right.
And then you can do something more creative than, let me go ahead and go underneath here. Let me do a little stabby stabby.
Right.
And I just didn't, I fell flat. I just don't like stuff like that. It was like cheaply done.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Friday the 13th, the original.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bacon, and he's laying there, and, you know.
Right.
But, which I really loved, but this one was kind of like, eh.
It made sense for its time for Friday the 13th with the arrow through the neck.
Because it
felt within the atmospheric of the movie to actually have that.
The camp, yeah.
Right.
Right.
This doesn't have any kind of atmosphere to it or anything like that. It's just Lonnie being perverted and his girlfriend being perverted and getting all bent out of shape to see her ass. And then he gets all twisted up and
literally
he dies. Right.
Right.
I'm glad that you and I are on the same page on that, because I was like, I was wondering when I was watching this, I'm like, I'm wondering how you feel about that, because it could have been a lot better.
I think so, too. Yeah. I don't know why they did it that way, but it could.
Me either.
I think they should have explored that a little bit more. But
I agree, because they did everything else perfect. I thought the other kills were a lot more, you know, smarter with their kills.
Yeah.
If I had to rate this, I would give it like a 1 out of 5 for the kill, for the performance of the kill.
Right.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's see what else you have. Because if this is only the only lazy writing that you have, I'll forgive you. You know?
Yeah.
So now after that happens, we have Carver sticks the knife. Okay, we already talked about that.
Right.
And then Jessica later goes with Evan and Gabby to the high school while Newland and the other officers are outside. Jessica separates from the couple and Carver attacks and incapacitates them. He tries to go after Jessica, but she nearly manages to escape. Yuli's father attempts to move her back to Florida with a security guard looking at them. Carver gets into their house and shoots the guard and Yula's father before going after Yula herself. Jessica and Scuba learn she is in danger and seeing her get attacked over video chat. They make it to her house, but are too late as Carver has gotten Yula and turns on a buzzsaw, throwing her on top of a disembowering her. Scuba holds his girlfriend's body in shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, he buys the gun. Scuba buys the gun.
Right. Yeah.
And thinking that he can actually protect this. It's teenagers being teenagers, thinking that they're grown and they can actually protect the ones that they love.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see him cock the gun and stuff like that, and you're thinking, okay, this guy can probably actually handle himself, but then the situation arises and he can't really do anything because the shock of his girlfriend being cut in half.
Right.
With this saw.
Right.
But, you know, I do like the scene in the high school where Jessica is actually hiding in the beautician shop.
Yeah, that is so freaking creepy.
It is.
All the heads in there.
And you see, I would have thought, you know what would have been perfect? Instead of having Jessica in there, have Eula in there doing that.
Yeah.
Instead, swap it. Because it makes more sense for Eula to be in there if you want to try and kill her.
Right.
And then get Eula and then just chop off Eula's head. I mean, when she's trying to pretend that she's a mannequin.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that scene, although I don't know of any high schools that have.
No. That.
But I was.
It's thinking, college. We had that kind of cosmetology class and stuff like that. We don't even have wood shop in high school.
Right, right. Yeah. But I loved all those heads there. They're so creepy. And yeah. Just her trying to blend in with the head. Don't blink, don't sneeze, you know.
You know what? It reminds me of me going upstairs at my barbershop at that time in the 90s because the bathroom was upstairs. Uh-huh. And he had the mannequins up there, like the heads up there. And I was creeped out by that. And I just had instant flashbacks of that. But I thought the way that they laid out the heads and stuff like that, right. I liked it. I really thought it was horrifying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the whole entire Saw? And did you like that scene or did you feel like that was a little flat?
The Saw scene? Yeah.
Like,
It was so weird that, you know, you're renovating your house. When are you going to get it done? I don't know. And then, the whole, there's the Saw thrown on the Saw. I've seen that done before. I don't know which movies, but I'm like,
just about every horror movie has that.
Yeah, something.
Although, if you count Lethal Weapon with Martin Riggs killing somebody with the staple gun, the nail gun.
See, I would have preferred that actually. Mm-hmm. That would have been a lot more fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
You see, we should be giving them notes on how to. Because at least with Final Destination, they used a Home Depot kind of thing to kill somebody with a nail gun.
Yeah.
They could have at least had the killer have a nail gun.
That had so much more imagination to it.
Right.
Than just some random Saw that.
I agree.
I don't want to be too critical, but the first time I saw this film, I enjoyed it very much. I laughed a whole lot and stuff. But then watching it again, I'm like, there are moments where I'm like, they could have done that better, you know?
That's how I felt like the first time, to be honest with you, Marilyn. I was like, I'm having a good time with this.
Yeah.
And then this is my second time watching it on a rewatch. And I'm like, I don't like these two scenes at all with the trampoline. And I don't like this scene.
No.
It's not clever. It's just like every other horror movie that we've ever seen, every other slasher movie that we've seen. I want something different whenever I'm watching a slasher movie.
I like new kills. I do.
Me too. So if I had to give this up, people, it'd probably be like a 1.5 out of 5 for this kill if I was able to rate it. But I'm not going to do that. But I'm just joking around. But yeah, then Jessica using a ring she got from a look. Okay, so. After that happens, so the police decide to lure out Carver during the Thanksgiving parade, which is a big mistake, with Jessica and her family plus Scuba being made to participate since Carver is basically targeting them. So they use them as bait. A brief protest from Midge, Carver comes out in a creepy clown costume and decapitates a turkey mascot before throwing smoke bombs into the crowd. As everyone runs in panic, Carver manages to abduct Scuba and Wright. Kathleen wakes up in Carver's basement, where he's prepping her like a turkey. She manages to free herself and almost escapes.
Yeah.
Okay, so with the clown costume, okay, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to have that element of, like, everybody knows that I'm dressed up like a pilgrim.
Right.
But my thing is this. Why don't you have other people dressed up as a pilgrim?
Right.
So we can blend in and make the kill.
I mean, there were pilgrims out there. Like Mitch was out there, obviously.
Right.
But
I mean, like a whole parade line of nothing but of carvers. You know what I'm saying? If this is a thing to celebrate Carver,
right?
I feel like you wouldn't need to have
the whole thing. Everybody. Yeah. And that was the other thing. I was like, why a clown? I mean, I know a clown is scary. It is.
It is.
But then he decapitates
the turkey.
And who was this person? Was he on the list? I don't even think so.
No, he was just...
Just a random...
Random. So before he had rhyme and reason why he was killing the target.
Yeah, now it's just random. It's like, whatever.
It's like, well, you know what, guys? We have about maybe 40 minutes left of this movie. You know what? We need another body. Yeah. So I'm just going to kill an innocent person.
Yeah. And then, but then the whole thing, too, is, like you said, why not a whole, like 100 John Carvers instead of an obvious clown that you can spot running away or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Because at least with I Know What You Did Last Summer, they had a parade.
Yes.
And everybody had a slicker.
Yes. Yeah.
So with this, everybody should have a John Carver pilgrim thing. And it'd be cool if like they had like a, you know, all I can think of is Macy Day Parade, like maybe a John Carver dance kind of thing. And then he goes,
and then
I don't know. Right. But just to have a kill, just to have a kill and doesn't do anything to amplify why he's killing somebody. And plus, you're already going to go ahead and kidnap the other two characters. So I understand that he's using it for a distraction, but you already have the smoke bombs as a distraction.
Yeah. You could use those smoke bombs while you're John Carver and everybody else is, right?
Right.
And then boom, smoke. Mm.
Right.
And darts, you know. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. I wanted to like it, but I just didn't.
Yeah.
I found the Thanksgiving thing with Kathleen, I think.
Who?
Or am I wrong? The one where Kathleen wakes up in Carver's basement.
The stepmom.
Yeah, I thought was a lot better. That was a good idea.
That I felt bad for her.
Absolutely.
I, that was a horrible, and she tried. She tried. She was spunky. She was trying to be smart. But man, I felt bad for her so much.
I felt bad for her too, though, because when you think that she's going to get away, then John Carver comes over there with a pitchfork and throws throws it, and then gets her and drags her back into the oven. But I also want to talk about this, though, too, where the police department are already saying, well, this guy must be military or something, and he's not driving another car. So I'm like, military doesn't sound right.
No.
Even though I've seen this movie, but he's not driving a civilian car.
No.
You're in a small town. What? There's not an ambulance.
Yeah.
So not a fire truck.
Nope.
So... Hello, you have your police department. You're actually probably having somebody in your own department killing people. But, you know.
Maybe.
maybe not.
I want to say something about stepmom Catherine's death. Okay. She's in the oven and he stabs her with the meat thermometer and then it pops. When she's done. Even though I hated her dying like that.
Me too.
I was like, okay.
It's like chef's kiss kind of thing. It's like, okay, it's done.
She's done.
And then he puts her on the table around everybody. And the husband's throwing up. You have all this happening. I felt bad for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, these people, they didn't really do anything. It was mob mentality to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there were some people that, yeah, not good. But I did. I felt pretty bad for everybody. I really did. Yeah.
And then you have Carver begins a live stream and smashes Evan's skull on a camera. Jessica uses a ring she got from a local drug dealer to cut herself free, and she passes it to Scuba so he can go free and attack Carver. Jessica manages to escape and lure Carver away from everyone else.
Yeah.
And Scuba almost dies because the axe goes right through the wall
Yeah.
where he's standing at.
Yeah.
But did you think this scene worked for you, or what did you think of this?
It was okay. I was a little bit, I guess I was confused because I was like, okay, did he die or not? I don't know what's happening. I want to take a step back though, where dinner is served for the staff, and
Oh,
then
yeah.
cheerleader, the corkscrew in the neck and the blood in the
Make it
glass.
like wine.
I almost threw up watching it.
Me too.
I cannot do, like, I would never be a vampire. I cannot do, oh, here's some blood, yay.
No.
Just watching it made me go, okay, nope. And then who got the meat tenderizer to the head?
Evan was the one who got it. Remember, it was a live stream.
Yeah. Okay, got it, got it. All right. I was curious about that because I guess I was too so focused on what was going on around the table, and
Right. There
then
is a lot going on in this scene to be a
yeah.
one-room scenario that
That was
you.
pretty intense.
It
Yeah.
was. And also, too, I'm thinking to myself, wait, this cheerleader, you managed to get this cheerleader out of the morgue? Like, who has access to. But, yeah.
It's a, well,
Right.
it's okay.
So.
Yeah.
Then we have Jessica who runs through the woods and comes across a parade warehouse. Newland is found outside unconscious, and when Jessica goes inside, she sees Bobby walking around, making her think it's Carver. Although they try to go after him, Bobby is nowhere to be around. The police show up, and from Jessica, that her dad and friends are safe. When Newland is left alone with Jessica, she sees brambles on his shoes, similar to the ones she
Right.
went through in the woods. But also, too, if you remember the mangled face, the mask
Yeah.
that Carver has is the same burnt marks that's on his face.
Oh, really? I thought he changed
Because,
that out.
well, you remember the mask is kind of damaged a little
Yeah,
bit. But
it was. Okay.
at the same time, though, whenever the mask is off of this, or you know what I'm talking about, like
Yeah.
the sheriff,
Yeah.
you there's actually that ashy feel to his face that makes
Yeah.
him feel suspect.
Yep. Good catch.
Because I'm like, okay, yeah, you can give the boots away and stuff, but at the same time, though, your face, on the other hand, is telling a different story as well.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, he admits. So then after that, which tells her that Newland is the real John Carver, he admits to it, saying that he was fueled by revenge because he was having an affair with Amanda, who was pregnant when she died. He also says he drugged Bobby to make him think he was Carver. Jessica then reveals she was live streaming his confession.
Yeah.
Newland then goes after her. Bobby returns to save Jessica, but as they try to get away in this truck, Newland has already hooked it to a support beam to prevent them from leaving.
Right.
So what I liked about this was, it's like, okay, Jessica, tell me what you're thankful for. Because
Right.
I'm thankful for this live stream that I'm doing right
Right.
now.
I'm like,
So
yes.
I love that as they're unmasking him, she's also unmasking everyone around the world to who he is.
Right.
So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought that I also like Bobby and Jessica being together for the final two people out of
Yeah.
this whole entire scenario as well. Then Jessica exits the truck and starts to inflate the parade float. She waits for Newland to walk near it before shooting the float, causing a massive explosion that ignites Newland in flames. In the aftermath, Jessica is reunited with her family, while police believe that Newland was definitely killed in the explosion, since all they would all they found was ash. Jessica then sees who she thinks might be Newland as a masked firefighter holding an axe walks out.
Yeah, of course it is. Hello.
Right? Because we want to do a sequel.
Right? Yeah, of course.
But is there anything that you wanted to add for this scene?
No. I kind of felt like, really, that's happening? Like the cable on the truck and inflate the turkey and stuff. But I was happy. I'm like, yeah, inflate that turkey, you know? And shoot it and it explodes. And so that was fun. I liked that. But yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun that, oh, we can't find him. He must have, you know, incinerated it. There's, you know, nothing here. So that it left it open to, you know, another. So
right. What do you think of Patrick Dempsey as playing the sheriff? Do you buy him as the sheriff? Do you like his character?
I do, actually. I did. I like him generally anyway. Mm-hmm. And he did seem very genuine the whole time until he is unmasked, and then even then he was like, you know, here's why I'm doing this.
Right. And then you find out about the affair, and I thought that was a good twist to this.
Yeah.
And it gives him even more motivation to be doing this besides the Black Friday thing. It's like, you took away my family that I was going to have.
Right.
But you selfish buttholes get to have everything you want,
right,
but I don't get nothing.
Right. Yeah. So I felt actually bad for him, but but at the same time, it doesn't mean you get to go around killing
everybody. No. It doesn't give you an excuse to kill somebody, especially an innocent bystander who just dressed up in a turkey costume.
Yeah. No.
Right. No. And then also, too, all of a sudden, Patrick decides he's going to throw out his Boston accent when he's pissed off.
Right.
Even though people tell me that my Boston accent comes out when I'm pissed off.
Oh.
But still, the whole entire time, the dude doesn't even have an accent going on.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But other than that, though, I like Patrick Dempsey as the sheriff. I really liked him. There's not a lot that I don't like about these actors. I think they're doing the best job that they can do.
Yeah.
Even though we know that they're not, look, when we see a slasher movie, there's not going to be these layers to these characters. We're just introduced to these characters and that's it. Even when we get introduced to them at the very beginning in this whole entire shopping thing too.
Yeah.
I feel like that we're introduced to these characters way too quick. But at the same time, though, it fits in perfectly with the chaos because we're just people just passing through seeing faces of people that we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
but you can see the, like the shopping thing,
mm-hmm.
you can see the intensity and the mania that happens for the holiday season. So I like that because I don't do Black Friday.
I don't either. And plus, even get this, all the stuff that's going to be on Black Friday is going to be at the store the next day.
Yeah.
You're not really saving anything.
No.
But yeah, Jessica later on in bed with Ryan, where she has a nightmare that a flaming Newland emerges from her closet to attack her. And then that's why we're probably going to have Thanksgiving 2. I don't know if we are or not. But, you know.
I don't know. I saw something that maybe I read a story or something where they were like, yeah, we're going to do that. But whether or not it's really in the works, I don't know.
Let's see here. Okay, so it was released in 2023. Sequel main thing is called Thanksgiving 2 on November. They greenlit the sequel to it, but it was supposed to get a worldwide release this year, but it didn't. But okay, so it grossed $30 million globally in its first 2 weeks release, with an impressive second week held that at 31%. It also marks director Eli Roth's highest rated film to date as certified fresh on 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. So you have that.
I feel like it did well, you know.
I think it did.
Yeah, yeah.
Grossed $30 million. Let me find out the budget.
Yeah. You find that on IMDb?
Actually, I can find it on Wikipedia. Okay, so it was approximately between 55 and 80 million.
The budget?
The budget.
Whoa.
And... hold on, and then the total budget was over 900. So what was it for Thanksgiving movie? So 15 million was the budget. Sorry about that. Let me clear that up.
Because I was going, oh, I made a mistake.
No. It's 15 million for that.
Okay.
But the budget
on the first week.
And then the first week, I made 46.5 million.
Okay, more than that. All right.
To, well, 46 million to 49.5 million.
Okay.
So.
They did good.
Yeah. It did pretty decent numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wish that they would actually make a sequel. I mean, I think that it deserves one. But, yeah. You know, you just have to find another chaotic Black Friday sale somewhere. Or have some other motivation as to why you're doing this again.
Right.
Because it's going to, unless you're going to copycat this character and make that character be, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's the only way to do this.
Yeah.
Is to do a copycat killing.
Right. Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. But I'm sure that Dempsey would come back. I'm sure he would come back.
Dempsey would.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how that would happen.
Me either, but it'd be interesting on how they write this, so yeah. I'm definitely going to be keeping tabs on this.
Yeah, cool.
So if I'm going to have to give this a rating, I'm probably going to do maybe like a 3.5 out of 5. Like, I enjoyed it. I know what they're trying to go for. I'm glad that they also knew the identity of this film and they didn't try to go outside the slasher.
Right.
So that's something I really do appreciate, even though I didn't like some of the kills that we mentioned. But yeah, I think 3.5 out of 5 is perfect. And I get the whole entire reason why, you know, the lesson in the story about Black Friday.
Yeah. And I think I would give it, I'm right there with you, but I think I would give it a 4 maybe.
Okay. Hey, that's fine.
Even though I didn't really like some of the kills and stuff. But like you said, I like the lesson in it. Like, stop being greedy, and enjoy what you have, and don't let the season overwhelm you so much that you forget
what the season is about.
What the season's about.
Exactly.
Hopefully, if they do another one, there'll be better kills.
I hope so, because they need better creativity. Just get Marilyn and I to help you, and then get Jason Pitts to actually help you with the kill scenes as well.
Cool. Okay.
But, okay. So, guys, look, did you guys enjoy Thanksgiving? Did you guys not enjoy Thanksgiving? That's my question for you guys. And what would you guys give Thanksgiving as well? And what are you guys having on Thanksgiving? Are you guys a ham person? Are you guys a turkey person? I'd like to actually know in the comments. Pass on some of that great cooking that you guys are having this Thanksgiving as well. And remember, don't forget to subscribe. Give me that thumbs up. Marilyn, thank you so much for being on the show. I do appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to have you. And I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and no Black Friday shopping for either one of us. So, guys, have a great time, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, John.
You're very welcome, Marilyn. Thank you for always wanting to come on the show. It means so much to me.
It's fun, and I enjoy you.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.